faith. Amen. Thank God for those that are here. Amen. Thank God for those that are on their way. And a corroboration that you are here, and one corroboration that we can even corroborate in the Old Testament. The writer stated that this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. But even the writer has said that he stated from the point of limited knowledge at that time. Because we know in today's dispensation of grace, amen, that God is the creator of all things. And by all things are moved, all things move and live and operate by the decree of God, amen. And once we understand that, we can even rejoice in our trials and tribulations to know that God has a purpose in everything under the sun. Amen. And things in your life that you may not even understand yet, but to know that there's a living God in the universe that has a purpose in every breath you take, every move you make. God has an eternal purpose. And God has an agenda.
Yes, sir. Come on.
And God's agenda must come to pass.
Yes, man.
And the one thing we need to understand, and we have a lot of better sleep many times if we just understand that God's agenda is not going to always line up with your agenda. Amen. And once we understand that, we can say, Lord, let thy will be done. And that way God's people that belong to, that are members of this glorious body, which is the focus of the message today, you can just rejoice in the goodness of God. Amen. To know that come life, come death,
right,
come sickness, come health,
right,
no matter what, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God,
right,
which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your kindness, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for being so good, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you're the great God of our salvation. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for just robing us with your righteousness. We thank you, Lord, that our salvation was secure in Christ even before the foundation of the world. And Father, right now, we thank you that we can rest in Christ to know that you are the author and the finish of our faith, and to know that all things move by your decree. So, Father, we ask that you would breathe upon everyone here according to your will. Oh, God, move by your Spirit. And, Father, everything that's not like Christ, we ask by your decree to move it aside and let everything point to Jesus Christ and him crucified. And, Father, be all these things. Help us to always, always, always give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Let all the people of God say, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. But thank God for his goodness. And at this time, amen, God is so good. Before we actually get into, I meant to just kind of read this first. Anyway, amen, because this can tie directly into our message. But before we actually get into the message, well, everyone, we can go right into the minister's pen. Amen. And then we'll get started in the word of God. Because after all, the minister's pen, whether it's the minister's pen, the pastor's pen, whoever's pen, it's still the word of God. Amen. So we can, everything, hey, in a spiritual church, everything must always point to the Word of God. So we're going to trust, if you don't have a bulletin, I trust everyone has a bulletin, we're reading right on the inside where it says the minister's pen. And then we'll get started. Amen. The importance of rightly dividing the grace scriptures. Those who commit themselves to grace teaching will inevitably be faced with the issue of taking the writings of the Apostle Paul literally. Sound cogitation in the scriptures is directly related to possessing a key understanding of Paul's writings. The child of God must understand that Paul had a distinct revelation of truth committed unto him. This was a volume of truth, which is mystery, that was unknown in prior generations, referencing Ephesians 3:5. With this understanding, it would be impossible to drift along with the masses by mixing the writings in the Old Testament with the great scriptures. the child of God that is in tune with the scriptures will find that there are a plethora of things that Jesus said in the synoptic gospels that will conflict with Paul's writings. It is so important for God's people to see that all scriptures are written for you, but not all scriptures are written to you. One theologian stated years ago, "Do not read other people's mail." It would be permissible to read the whole Bible, but the child of God's focus is to prioritize the great scriptures that were revealed to the Apostle Paul. While the whole Bible is God's word, the great scriptures have a higher rating of knowledge and information due to the spiritual nature of our contract. It is so important for God's people to see that all scriptures are written for you, but not all scriptures are written to you. One theologian again stated years ago, "Do not read other people's mail. It would be permissible to read the whole Bible, but a child of God's focus is to prioritize the great scriptures that were revealed to the Apostle Paul. While the whole Bible is God's word, the great scriptures have a higher rating of knowledge and information due to the spiritual nature of our contract." And in stating this, we have to always remember that God's word, the whole Bible, is true. The whole Bible is great for information, but you need to prioritize and focus on that part of the Bible that's written to you. And we are so excited to know that those 14 epistles of Paul, the books from between Romans and Hebrews, that is your information. That's your direction. Because if you follow those directives, you won't be sidetracked by a lot of things that people are so confused about today. And you know, the most blessing thing for a child of God is to dwell with knowledge and understanding. Amen. Right. At this time, we're going to go right into the Word of God. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And we will read this in the first of all, we'll read this in the King James Version. And then we'll read this in the Greek. And by the way, thank God for our visitors today. Amen. Amen. Thank God for our visitors. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the first verse, 1 through 4. Who's going to be our? Okay. Deacon Gavin's going to be our reader. And we'll read verse 1 through 4, and then from there, we're going to go right into the Greek. Amen. Again, I repeat, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.
Ephesians chapter 1, King James Version first. Beginning verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus."
And by the way, now you know they say in the King James. Well, we'll get to read this in the Greek. We'll see that there are some things that was stated in the King James that wasn't in the original Greek. But we'll say this, the word places, if you have a Greek text, it's not even there. In fact, in your Bible, you probably have that word italicized. Mm-hmm. Whenever you see a word italicized, even in the New Testament, in the King James, mm-hmm. what it means is that word was not in the original translation.
Right.
So this word, a more accurate translation, even of this text, is the blessings is in the heavenlies in Christ. Mm-hmm. Your blessings is in Christ. Mm-hmm. Your position is in Christ.
Right,
amen. Deacon, go to verse 4.
Verse 4, King James. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love."
Even read that. Read that one more time, because we can focus on verse 4 today's text. Verse 4 again.
"According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love."
Okay, now, let's go. We're going to now read this in the Greek text.
Ephesians 1st chapter, 1st verse. Mm-hmm. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through will of God, to the saints, being in Ephesus, and faithful in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Grace to you, and peace from God, Father of us, and Lord Jesus Christ.
Now you notice, we say it in the New Testament and the great scriptures. Have you noticed that the scriptures, most of them always begin with grace to you. Grace to you as a member in God's glorious body. Grace to you. In other words, saints, understand that God has graced you with the gift of salvation. With everything that belongs to Christ, He has graced this with you, graced this for you, and He's done this, He did this before you were even around. God graced you with all spiritual blessings, and these blessings are in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So if you want to focus on what God has done for you, you need to go back to before the foundation of the world to know that God has given you His grace, and grace is nothing but undeserved favor. God did this for you in spite of you. God graced you with His goodness, His kindness, His love, His mercy. It was God's grace to you. Even though you didn't deserve it, He graced you anyway. Why? Because He loved you before the foundation of the world. Amen. Let's move on, D.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, in the linear Greek text. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us with every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ.
Notice, you have been blessed with every blessing spiritual, saints. You have been blessed, not with some. You've been blessed with every blessing spiritual. But notice the key word here, spiritual. The key word is spiritual. And another thing in our gospel, in this grace dispensation, you can't see these things and take it to the bank. You can't see what God has given you and take it to where the Chase and Comerica. You can't take this information to the bank. One reason you can't take it, because it's more valuable than, well, I don't care how much money they got in the bank. This is more valuable. Justification, propitiation, sanctification, adoption, reconciliation. It's more valuable than any amount of money they have in the bank. Because these are the unseen eternal things, the workings of God, that God did for you in eternity before the world began. Amen? Now, it was every blessing spiritual. Now, when did God do this? Because we're going to, by the help of the Lord, we need to understand, saints, church, the workings of God. You need to understand, when did God do the work? Because if you're confused about the workings of God in terms of time, whether it's eternity, if you're confused in the eternal realm, this confusion is going to translate right down your life. But thank God, here's the good news. If you have a clear cogitation, a clear thinking on the eternal workings of God, then no matter what comes down, no matter what happens in time, you can just understand that this is all part of God's divine plan for your life. Amen? And you can't change it. You can't pray it away. You know, there's a lot of people that's out here, and there are some things that in their life that they don't like, and they're trying to pray and fast it away. Listen, if God has that thing designed for you, you can pray and fast all day long. It's going to happen. Because God has already purposed. That's part of your course. Amen? And thank God, you cannot run away from the will of God. In everything give thanks in Christ Jesus, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Let's move on, Dave. Now, let's go to verse 4, because we're going to exegete and break this down to verse 4, because, anyway, amen. I'm jumping ahead of myself. I'm going to take my time here. Let's go to verse 4.
All right. Ephesians 1 verse 4, again, interlineal Greek text. As he chose us in him before foundation of world.
They read that one more time.
As he chose us in him before foundation of world.
Check, now, are we going to let, listen, let the word of God speak. If God said that you were chosen before creation,
mm-hmm.
you were chosen before creation. If God said you were chosen before you were even born in this life, in other words, God had his hand on you before you even came into this world. There's so much security in that. To know that you were chosen before creation. But we're going to see how the religious systems has turned this thing around.
Right.
They're saying that you came here first, and then based upon some things you did, God chose you.
Right.
And they got it all backwards. God chose you in spite of yourself.
Yes. Yes.
It was an eternal work of God.
Mm-hmm.
So sad to say, a lot of God's people are confused because they got caught in the head of the horse.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to rightly divide these scriptures in order to understand what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Amen? Okay, D, let's move on.
As he chose us in him before foundation of world, being us holy and unblemished before him in love.
Now, let's say this. What is Paul saying here? You know, Paul's the writer. First of all, let's understand. It's really the Holy Spirit is the writer. Paul is just the messenger boy. Amen.
Right.
But it's okay, you know, we understand when we say this person, Peter, whether it's Peter, Paul, Moses, whoever, when we say they are the writer, they're basically just writing what God inspired them to write.
Right.
So understand that this is the Word of God.
Right.
What we're saying is the Word of God. Everything begins with the Word of God. And anytime you get people, personalities in the workings of God, anytime you focus on man, whoever it may be, I don't care if he's the bishop of 1,000 churches, when you focus on man, you are minimizing the work of God. But thank God, everything should focus on what Christ did for us. Everything should focus on the workings of Christ. So, when we're looking at this, salvation, when did the work of God begin? And we just stated here, it was before the foundation of the world. But we're going to, with the help of the Lord, let's exegete. And by the way, we say exegete, this is nothing but a fancy word. We're going to break this down. We're going to interpret this, explain it,
right,
and see what the Spirit of God is saying.
Yes,
because what a lot of people are doing, they go to the church and the man reads the Bible and they don't break it down. And all of a sudden, they have the wrong interpretation. And by the way, if you have the wrong interpretation, you're going to have the wrong thinking.
Right.
If you have the wrong thinking,
yeah.
you have wrong actions.
Yeah.
And if you have wrong actions, you have wrong conclusions.
Yeah.
But if you have the right interpretation, the right understanding, you will have the right actions.
Amen.
And with the right actions, you have right conclusions.
Amen.
As a result of right understanding. So what are we saying here? Let's break this down further. First of all, what does it mean when we say this was all done before the foundation of the world?
Amen.
First of all, this verse, according as he, now we know who he is, God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Saints, this verse begins with a subordinating conjunction. Okay? Now, a conjunction just connects two thoughts. The Greek word here, kata, is prefixed to os, O-S, allowing the translation according as. In other words, according as.
All right.
Beginning with a subordinating conjunction. Now, this Greek word indicates, saints, the spiritual blessings, which is connected to verse 1.
Right.
So verse 1 and 4, these are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
The spiritual blessings, which Deep read earlier, these blessings originated before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Now let's break this down some more. Now the use of the indicative mood, saint. First of all, when you say the indicative mood, that's the fact.
That's the fact.
It's the fact that God chose you.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you are saved.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you are sanctified.
Yeah.
I don't care what the man told you, mess up and no. If God saved you, you are saved. Because the indicative mood identifies, it's a fact that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Do you know the security that's in that? Do you know the security to know that this is nothing that man can mess up in your life? Somebody said, well, but I messed up. Wait a minute. God, you know what? Do you know that before you even breathed, God knew the mistakes you would make? But he chose you anyway? See, we got all backwards. We think that if we come in this life, and if I don't do this, then God, somehow God is going to look at that and choose me.
Right.
God chose you in spite of yourself.
Yes, sir.
He knew everything we would all go through. He knew our tests,
yes,
our trials,
yes,
our tribulations,
yes,
our hardships.
Yes.
But understand that God chose you in Christ before time. Amen. Now, the use of the indicative mood here, again, it's a fact. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Yep.
Now, we know in the verse 2, that the Greek verb, saints, rendered chose, is from the compound word ess out and lego speak. In other words, speak out, or we can say pick out or select out.
Right.
In other words, God picked you out in terms of selecting you. Which was a fact before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Now let's add one thing to this again. The use of the aorist tense in this whole verse was the aorist tense. When did God do this? Past complete action. The use of the aorist tense indicates that at a given point in time, in past complete action, God performed the act of selecting and choosing those he designated to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
In other words, it was all done before the foundation of the world. God knew, God designed, God purposed before the foundation of the world those that would belong to him. And the reason that you came into this world, you couldn't run from that call. In fact, you can really say you were a mocked person.
Absolutely.
You were mocked by God.
Absolutely.
You know, listen. I would rather be mocked by God than anybody else. Because anyone that God has his hands on, hey, you're on safe ground.
Yes, sir.
You were mocked by God, chosen before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So in the sphere of time, before, in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Let's break this down further. This verse is also the use of the middle voice. Now somebody says, what about the middle voice? Well, in the middle voice here, it infers that God sovereignly selected some, not everyone, to execute his purpose involving the fulfillment of his desire.
Right.
In other words, God in eternity sovereignly selected those who would belong to him. God's, it was a choice that God made. It was an unconditional choice.
Right.
It wasn't based on conditions.
Right. Thank God.
It wasn't based on conditions, because if God based his selection on conditions, none of us would have been chosen.
None.
But thank God he based it only on his love for you. But you see, when we always say that you need to stay in your gospel, stay in your contract, because, see, the religious systems will tell you that God has chosen the whole world, and then it's up to you to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, as the Lord helped, as we move through this later in this hour, if God was waiting on a depraved person to exercise faith in God, forget it. Never happened. If God is the author of our salvation, if God does not give you the understanding and the enlightenment of what he did for you, you will never understand the workings of God. And that is why you came to God only because God drew you like a magnet to him. And the reason that people out there are laughing at Christ, they make jokes of us coming to church. Why? If they are the non-elect, forget it. They're never going to come. Because they weren't designed to come. So you need to stay focused in what God has revealed to the body of Christ. That is those letters to the apostles, the letters to the church. Because even in the other parts of the writing, see, even when somebody said, what about what Jesus said? Amen. Well, what about what Jesus said? Amen. What about what Jesus said? The Bible says, Jesus said, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's right. And that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see the danger of not breaking the scriptures down and understanding what God is saying. Now, before time's sake, we don't have time to do it, the SG, John, but we can say it from this point of view. Yes, God so loved the world. If you look at that, if you break that down, yes, God so loved the world of those who he elected. You can say God so loved the world of believers that whosoever believes, break that down further, that whosoever calls to believe in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. And anyone that God has put his hand on, that he has called to believe this gospel, they are saved not because they believe, but because they are saved because God shows you an eternity, and your belief is just a manifestation of what God is going to do for you to give you the understanding that what he's already done.
Right, right.
So the knowledge, when you came to this wonderful knowledge,
yes,
some of you came to this knowledge 10 years ago, some 5 years ago, some 30 years ago, whenever you came to this knowledge change, understand the moment that enlightenment came, that was not the time that you got saved.
Right.
That was the time that understanding came. The time that God chose you was before the foundation of the world. And looking at this, there are some of God's people are going to leave this earth and they ain't going to never understand the gospel.
That's right.
They ain't never going to understand the deeper things of God.
Amen.
But salvation is not based upon whether or not you understand.
Thanks.
The salvation is based upon what God did.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you noticed that all the workings of our gospel, it points to Christ?
All of it.
See, anything that does not point to Christ, you better check that thing out again.
Yeah, that's right.
Because everything in our contract points to Christ. And you know what? If you go to a church, and let's say you talk to a friend of yours, and they say, you know what? I went to church, and everything they, whatever the church, I don't care what name is on the outside door. But if they say, you know what? Everything they mentioned, it was on Christ. It was on Christ. I would say, amen, you're in a great church.
That's right.
But when everything is about programs, about men, about the pride of men, you say, you better check it out.
Check it out.
Something ain't right. Because in a true church, everything's a point to Christ. Amen. Now, let's look at this further. Further consideration. If you can break this down, amen. Cast light upon when God accomplished. In other words, when did God accomplish this selection process? When did he do it? I mean, you know, see, one thing we always say, learning is what, 90% repetition? So we're going to read this again. Repetition, you know, repetition, repetition. Amen. They read verse 4 again. When did God do this? In the Greek.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, interlinear Greek text. As he chose us in him before foundation of world.
Before that, you were chosen before foundation of the world. You were chosen. God had you saved, picked before the foundation of the world. In spite of some of your trials and tests, and some things are going to happen to you, church, that you're going to be, it's going to say, you're going to wonder whether or not you even saved. But if you understand the workings of God, it will clear the slate with this confusion. You won't be confused to know whether or not you're saved. I gave an account years ago. You know, by the way, if you've been walking with the Lord, in other words, with the enlightenment that God has given you, if you have any time on your side in terms of God's walking with God, there'll be some dry moments in your life. We've all been there. Some of those dry moments. And you see what happens. Somebody say, well, you saved me. Why dwell on the eternal things and the vertical things? Saints, let me tell you. Church, you better focus on what? The fact that God did this in eternity. Because when you have those dry moments in your life, you won't be messed up and confused.
That's right.
See, one of the driest moments in my life, I had a bad week that week, and I was coming from Point Huron. And you know those weeks. I mean, I know y'all never hear this, but the weeks where things ain't right with your wife, ain't right with the kids, and the boss man messing you, almost cursing you out, and you just messing up, and you come home fussing the kids, and you name it, you just out made man, and then all of a sudden, and have the audacity to stay home and not go to church one Sunday because you mad. And see, I know some of y'all ain't never been there. And then all of a sudden you're driving, he'll preach him on come on the radio. Says, yeah, some of y'all are messing up, you're having a bad time. And then he yells out, well, have you thought about it? You may not even be saved. And I'm saying, well, hey, maybe I had a bad, the devil's beat me on the head. And I said, you know what? Maybe I ain't saved. Here, so you pull the car on the side of the road like a fool and pray, Lord, if I ain't saved, Lord, help me. In other words, Lord, I want to be sure I'm saved. You see what happens? When you put this in time. I have salvation time. In other words, if I have a good time, amen.
Yeah.
But if there's a bad time, maybe I ain't saved.
Yeah. Say that.
God chose you in spite of the bad times you will have.
Amen.
God elected you in spite of what you're going through.
Amen.
God has you picked in spite of whatever happens in time, God chose you. Amen. So, looking at this, so when did God accomplish this? Before the foundation of the world. In verse 4, did you finish reading verse 4?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. Let's continue reading verse 4. Yes, please.
As he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be us holy and unblemished before him in love.
Amen. You are saying you're holy. You are what? You are righteous. You are sanctified. You are in the body of Christ.
Right. Right.
He's the head. You are the members of his glorious body.
Right.
So what higher position can be than to be a member in the body of Christ? Saints, you can't get any higher than that. Anything higher than that, you would be God himself. And you know, ain't nobody can take that position. Forget it. Ain't but one God. Ain't but never be one God. But you're still a part of God. You are a new person in Christ. Jesus is the head. You are a member in the glorious body. You have, look at the workings of God. God has given you a higher position in him than he's given any writer in the Bible. You have a higher position in God than Moses, than Elijah,
yes, sir,
than Jacob,
yes,
than Ezekiel, than Daniel.
Yeah.
Let's take it further. You have a higher position of God than the 12 disciples.
That's right.
Somebody said, wait a minute. Amen. Now. People say, they walked with the Lord. They slept with the Lord.
Yeah.
They what? They saw the Lord did the miracles.
Yeah.
You mean tell me that you, and somebody say, with all things I'm going through, you mean I have a higher position in the workings of God than the 12 disciples?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, God has, because the 12 disciples, in fact, all, see, remember, say, divide this Bible? All of the 12 disciples, they are what they call, their ministry is the part we call the Commonwealth of Israel. When you read the Bible, when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you familiar with all those verses. What did Jesus say? He came and said, I came preaching the gospel of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
and that gospel of the kingdom was to the Jews. And you read that further, and in those writings, one time they brought a Gentile woman to Jesus, and they said, Lord, heal her. He said, look, I am not sent but to the lost tribe of Israel. And see, if you see, in reading this, years ago, people had to understand that the Lord, he seemed what? Cold. He seemed rude. We know that's not, you know, Jesus perfect. God in the flesh. But in the Bible, God operates by covenants and dispensations. And at that time, the Gentiles were still cut off from God. You go back there in Deuteronomy and you want to major in those books and look at history. It tells you, as Gentiles, you were cut off from God. Only in this dispensation of grace are Jews and Gentiles one in Christ Jesus. Only in this dispensation. And you say somebody to abide, you, hey, abide in this in this contract, this is what gives you the good news. Because if you abide in those other contracts, you are cut off. Now somebody said, you mean tell me no Gentiles are saved in the other writers? We didn't say that because see, one thing about selection, election, amen, remember? See, with the knowledge we have today, but see, you can't get this information in the other parts of the Bible. The knowledge we have today, yes, there were Gentiles saved in the other writings, but they weren't saved because, listen now, they were not saved because they had a contract with God. They were saved because that was God's divine will and purpose for their life.
I hear you.
People today, so election covers all dispensation. You're not saved based upon what you've done. You're saved because of what God did.
Amen.
Amen. So, going back here, did you finish that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, now let's go back to verse 4. God accomplished this selection process before the foundation of the world. Now we're going to further exegete this. This grammatical classifier. Now notice, saints, the verse, this is what they call genitive of possession. This whole verse here is genitive. Now what do we mean by this? This denotes an era. In other words, think of genitive as ownership. For example, as ownership. In other words, this designates a period of time that was exclusively owned by God. And because this time was exclusively owned by God, there was no one around but God. And see, if you're looking at people, what these religious systems will tell you, that either you have to cooperate with God to get saved, you have to join this church and follow their what? Tenets for salvation. You have to go through the priest, and if you're not what? If you're not don't abide by their rules. You see all this? In other words, because they have salvation in time, people feel that they need to do all these works to measure up. And no amount of work can measure up to God's standard. I'm gonna say this again. No. None. Zero amount of work can measure up to God's standard. None. Zero. So God chose you in creation. Before the creation, we can say the creation of the cosmos. Cosmos is world. From this, we conclude that God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. And you were chosen. Now, when we say you were chosen now, this is all in reference to anything anything that happened in eternity. Understand, church, anything that happened in eternity, it all points to the new man. There is a new man and an old man. And if you don't understand the time frame of God in terms of God having your salvation all worked out in eternity, then what's going to happen, you're going to have the old man involved in this thing, and then because you cannot differentiate the new man from the old man, it's a fact. If you do not differentiate the workings of the new man from the workings of the old man, you would be just as confused by not distincting the dispensations. Because the new man is who God has chosen. The new man is the perfect man. The new man is the man that's righteous and holy and sanctified. That's the new man that's created in Christ Jesus. But look at the workings of God. God chose you before the foundation of the world. God chose you in Christ. He placed you as a member in his glorious body. He did that before you inherited your sinful tabernacle, the flesh.
Yes.
God chose you in him. And then, through the fall of Adam, we all inherited our sin nature. But don't you ever confuse the works of the flesh with the works of God. They have to be totally distinct. And because men are God's people, they feel for some reason they have to measure up in his flesh to get saved. You can never measure up in the flesh.
I hear you.
How in the world can depravity measure up? Depravity, by the way, that's the word, depravity. When we say depravity, just think of a person's sin nature. And we all have one. I don't care from the people with the 10 PhD degrees to the drunk on Skin Row. We all, we all depraved. There's only one person that's ever been probed in a physical body that's never sinned, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he came into this world. He identified with this world, but he had no sin nature. Why? Because he was God manifest in the flesh. But everyone else were. You receive a tabernacle of depravity. And you need to understand that works of depravity. Don't you ever mix that up with God's workings with the new man. And what God people do is that for some reason they with man and his sin nature, they somehow try to attribute that to righteousness. How can you? Depravity is depravity. Depravity can only do one thing, and that is being depraved.
Amen.
And see, when you understand the workings of God, when things happen out here, saints, because we have an eternal focus, then you won't be confused to say that, you know what, I don't think I'm saved. And that's, you know what, one of the worst things for a child of God can go through life. Go through life and not having assurance of their salvation. For years, I was saved. You know, in eternity, we always saved, right? But in terms of my understanding, saved, but confused. Because I thought that you had to measure up. And the flesh can never measure up. And we look at these things, the workings of God is all what? It's all righteous. Sanctification. Propitiation. Justification. Adoption. Election. The love of God. Sovereignty. All of these nations are part of the workers of God that's designed after the new man. And the workers of the flesh is designed after the old man. And when you see things, see people, you have this understanding. When things happen, you don't have to wonder, well, why? Because you understand the workers of God. I mean, things happen, for example, why does a pastor, the other day, a pastor White shot the pastor? Excuse me, why? It was simple. They were depraved. Why does a 30-year-old school teacher, female, 30-year-old school teacher, run around with a young boy in school? Depravity. All these things, saints. Why does a person wrap themselves up with a bomb and blow themselves up? He's depraved. Why do the leaders in the largest Christian church in the world now, leaders in the church, being indicted for messing with young boys, depravity, all this. And right now we are going through the 9/11, and everybody's talking about that, right? Do you know that there are some Christian leaders still do not understand what in the world happened to those airplanes? You know, two more days, right? 9/11. Well, I understand. People say, why would men just take themselves and blow up and take an airplane and run to a building? People are depraved. And by the way, that didn't catch God by surprise. You understand? Everything works by the purpose of God. His purpose. God has a purpose for all of these things. He had a purpose for those planes running to those buildings. Why did this young teenager get killed? Love the Lord. It was what? God had a purpose in that. And the confusion that a lot of people have, they do not understand. They get the decree of God mixed up with the nature of God. See, it's not God's nature. Murder, stealing, crime, all these things, it's not God's nature. But all things happen by God's decree. And if it wasn't decreed, it would have never happened. If it wasn't decreed, it would have never manifested in time. Your salvation manifests in time because it was decreed in eternity. And the reason that a lot of people's salvation will never manifest in time because it was never decreed. And here's somebody, you beating somebody over their head trying to force them to get saved. Listen, if that thing wasn't decreed in eternity, it never happened. But now, understand, let's qualify this. Because we don't know who God's elect are, our job is to give everyone what? The good news. Because those that you think are not the elect, they are the elect. And those that you think are the elect, they're not the elect. So what you do is just what? Just do the ushers of God. It's God's direction. You just share the good news and understand salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation is of the God. So understanding that the workings of God are pure and holy and righteous, and these all works began in eternity. And with you, when you have this what? Thinking and this understanding, and no, we're not glorifying depravity, because you don't, by the way, you know what? You know what? You don't need to glorify the bad thing. Hey, just breathe. That thing's going to happen. The flesh is the flesh, right? But when you see that things happen, you won't be caught up with what? Oh. You know? Another example of this, everybody's shocked. Is it, how can somebody, a professional football superstar, lose millions of dollars in endorsements and lose all this money and all these things and lose all this money? How can you do all that, get caught in something crazy, dog fighting? What simple things? Depravity. But see, here's the problem that a lot of people have. Because you understand, when you understand, when you put the workings of God in eternity, you won't be so judgmental down here. Because you understand, see, with the things, you look at this person, oh man, they are depraved. In other words, you say, well, they are more depraved than I am, so you can judge them. Wait a minute. There's no such thing as degrees of depravity. The person on the one that says he's walking upright before God, he's just as depraved as a drunk on Skid Row. God does not have it. God does not say, now there are different manifestations of depravity. God will allow some people by his decree to manifest more in depravity than others. But don't you ever think that because that person is doing more stuff out here than you are, that you are less depraved. In other words, God is just holding your depravity back more. That's all. That's all God's doing. He is holding you back because if God released that depravity, you do anything. You will probably do more than that person. Hallelujah. But you notice, no matter what happens, salvation goes back to God. It goes back to what God is doing. And see, when you understand this, amen. See, I told my little grandson, my little grandson will be blessed today. And I was telling my daughter the other day, I said, listen, that little bad boy, he smiles at you now. And the brass, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, man, I looked at him, where he was smiling. Man, you think he's an angel from heaven, Pastor? And I said, Pamela, you think, listen, understand, he's depraved. Hey, Mariah there, I love her. She was come daily the other day. But I understand, she's depraved. See, so what happens is that in due, and by the way, parents that have children, you know, in due time, that depravity is going to manifest. It's going to come out. Amen. It's just a matter of time. It's so funny. Talked to a teacher last year. They were so, man, they're going home. That bell rang the guy. I said, what is wrong with you? I said, those kids ran me crazy. I'm getting out of here. She was so mad. I said, wait a minute. I thought, but wait a minute. You got a bunch of 30 kids out there. The hormones jumping, and they're depraved. How do you expect them to act? Amen. Come on. But I'm saying, but when you get this understanding in the spiritual realm, you know that God had you picked, selected, chosen, sanctified, adopted. He took care of your salvation before you were in the world around. He already had you taken care of. You know what I'm saying? You already covered. Already covered. And anybody that God's covered, you already covered. Now, if you're looking at the workings of God, like Dick just read, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Chosen, elected, adopted. All these things came before you were even born. Now, understanding this, see, when you have this knowledge, then you'll say, wait a minute, are you saying it's not about what I do in time? And by the way, we mentioned depravity. Now, one thing, let's look at the whole, you know, by the way, you know, this is nothing new. I'm sure, see, in Paul's day, when his writings, he gave this good news about, hey, you know, in fact, the Romans really what brings it out. Because, by the way, in Romans, and I'm sure people haven't changed, when those Romans, when they heard this good news, wait a minute, Paul, are you saying that we were chosen? Before the foundation of the world, you mean tell me that my salvation is already taken care of? Yes. You mean tell me that I don't have to be fearful about my salvation? No. And understand now, in that culture, Rome, man, that was some culture as far as what, ungodliness. You know, people haven't changed. I'm sure somebody said, wait a minute. If Paul is telling me that what? I'm always saved. I've always been saved. Hey, I can just, In other words, all this grace, let me just live in the flesh and do what I want to do, whatever. But Paul qualified that. He said what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. You see, this information that about the eternal workings of God, once you internalize this, this will not, one, your desire should not to see how much you can do and get away with. Your desire is be how much more can you identify with the new man? If you really internalize the workings of God, the fact that, wait a minute, I had nothing to do with this. The child of God that really internalized the workings of God, they would say, what, Lord, help me to more identify with sanctification. Help me to more identify with righteousness. Help me to more to identify with what you have done for me. Help me, and by the way, we say help because only God can do this. Help me more to identify with what? The new man. Not identifying with the old man, because the old man is already what? Depraved. But so we're saying that when you, with this knowledge, see, along with right knowledge come right thinking. Right thinking brings right actions. Right actions bring right conclusions. So to know that God loved me so much that he didn't say, Johnny, Mary, or Sue, once you do this, once you measure up, then I will save you. No, God did it in spite of yourself. God did it anyway. And here's the security. The security is to know that I do not have to go through a church ritual to be saved. Hallelujah. Since that's the thing about our gospel, it's a liberating gospel. to know that I do not have to have man's approval to be saved.
Amen. Amen.
And there are millions of Christians today that are trying to get man's approval. Trying to do this, trying to do that. And to understand that the workers of God were already done before the foundation of the world. Then when you read the Bible, you can read it with understanding. You'll say that, well, it's not, somebody say, it's not about what you do. Well, somebody said, well, what Jesus said, if you, everyone, in other words, you got to be baptized to be saved. Yeah, did Jesus say that? Yes, Jesus said that.
All right.
But that was another dispensation.
Yes, sir.
Grace had not come around then at that time. Yes, Jesus told his disciples, go and do what? Go and baptize them in the name of what? The Lord Jesus Christ, or the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they'll be saved. But that was the part of that kingdom, what? Message. Which was conditional, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Will you rather be saved with conditions attached, or will you rather be saved with no condition, knowing that God just did it?
Amen.
Saints, I think there's not a person in here who would say, I would rather abide under the policy of God already doing it. He's already done it. So then when you read that, no, you're not, it's not about, so. But the point is this. Do you know there are millions of Christians today, they are told that, well, if you are baptized a certain way,
right,
then you will be saved.
Right.
And here's the confusion. They get baptized, what, that way,
right,
and then they go to work the next day, and the brother then says, come to my church, and then they say, no, you got to be baptized this way.
Yeah.
And by the way, and they're showing some things in the Bible to support that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person's totally confused. What? Trying to know that if that person was selected, chosen by God, it was already done. See, they're getting information from another contract, from another dispensation. And if you abide in the wrong dispensation, there'll be some that are saved. In fact, in the kingdom gospel, they say, if you don't forgive, God ain't gonna forgive you. And there are Christians today who feel that they're not saved because they have a hard time forgiving somebody. And by the way, our God, we should forgive.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's qualify that first. We should forgive, saints. But understand.
Yeah.
Remember we said the old man?
Right.
That nature of the old man.
Yeah.
Unforgiveness is a characteristic of the old man. And if you base your salvation on the works of the old man, let's suppose that someone really hurt you and you just can't forgive them. Now, by the way, with God's help, you can do it. But let's suppose you're going through that time where you just can't. Then all of a sudden you read over there what Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you ain't, and all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, I'm going to hell because I just can't forgive that person. See the problem? Will you rather abide in that contract or in our contract that says, you forgive first, because God has already forgiven you.
Already.
In other words, saints, God has already forgiven us.
Yes,
so we're to forgive because God first forgave us. So in the conclusion today, it is so important to put the workings of God in eternity where they belong. And, you know, in fact, the first three words of the Bible give you the foundation of the whole 66 books. In the beginning, God. If you just stop right, in the beginning, God. In eternity, God. And by the way, when we say in the beginning, that's another, probably preach another week on that one. But it says in the beginning, people say, oh, in the beginning, God, what? Created the solar system and the earth and all of this and all of this. And by the way, in the beginning, God had, that's only everything out here we see in Genesis, it was only a recreation, a manifestation. God has already decreed that was going to happen. It was going to happen. That was just a manifestation mode. The point is this. In the beginning, God chose you, elected you, called you out to be the child of God. Chosen, elected, sanctified, adopted, all of these nations, God did it for you before the foundation of the world. So when you keep the workings of God in eternity, you can have peace, happiness, comfort, security, to know that all things work out after the counsel of God's will. And does that mean you're going to have a good day? Bad day? You're going to have some bad days. You're going to have some good days. But you'll thank God, God did not base my salvation on how many good days or bad days I would have. God based it on what he did for me before the foundation of the world. God bless you.